Acts chapter number 9. Wow, the things that happened in the Middle East this week. I hope you'll come tonight. Keep your eyes on Israel. And things are setting up for the tribulation period, I'll tell you what. And praise the Lord for a president who's been friends with Israel and has helped to broker this peace agreement. You might think, what's this peace agreement got to do with the Bible? We'll show you tonight, I think very clearly, 6 o'clock. And even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Pray for our president. His brother died yesterday, and I'm sure he's sorrowing today, as you can imagine. His brother was 71 years old, and so we should just keep him in our prayers. So, in fact, Acts chapter 9, verse 31, let's just pray, and then we'll get into the Word. Father, we do thank you for this Lord's Day, and we pray for these precious children in their children's classes now, that thy Holy Spirit would comfort them and give them salvation and great hope for their futures. Lord, help our nation in these fractured times. Lord, these days of division. We pray for peace and calmness, quietness. We pray for looting to stop and violence. And Lord, for this virus, we pray to go away. Lord, we know you're able to do anything. We pray for the churches to grow in numbers, our churches to grow in numbers and love for you, that we would worship you, as the song just said, and glorify your name, for you are worthy to be adored. And Lord, help us to somehow get our minds off of all of our problems now and everything we got to do today and this week, and focus on the word of the Lord. Help our president today with his grief, as I know he was close to his brother and a business associate. And Lord, it's hard for any one of us to lose a loved one, and so help him at this time. And Lord, we do pray for the peace of Israel and Jerusalem. And we believe, Lord, we don't want to be like the Israelites, who your word says in Psalm 74, verse 9, about them, we see not our signs. God, help us to see these signs. May there be a great awakening in the church and a great warning for the wicked to be saved, and they can be. And now, Holy Spirit, teach us this truth. We pray, for we sure need it at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts 9:31, there's a statement in here I want to speak on this morning. It says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. We were talking earlier this year about our walk on Wednesday nights. It says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, that's salvation, so walk ye in him. Don't stop at salvation. Start at salvation to take a walk, take an adventure in your life with Jesus Christ, okay? Don't just say, Lord, thank you for saving me. I'll see you on the other side. No, walk with him every day. And there's many, many different, like love, facets to this walk with God. And there's a couple of them mentioned here in verse 31 about the churches of Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. Notice, it says they were edified, and notice, and walking in the fear of the Lord, that was part of their walk. They walked in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. That conjunction there, and, could be read this way. And walking in the fear of the Lord, and walking in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. That's what the word and means there. So they walked in the fear of the Lord, and they walked in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And I want to speak about that this morning, walking in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Walking in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. This year has not been very comfortable for some people. And it's still not. There are a lot of people that were very, very troubled. This was a very strange year. Very bizarre. I mean, just flat out weird. The whole planet, everybody on earth went through. And it has affected people. And it has affected even some who were believers in Christ. Their faith failed them. Their faith was found to be wanting, to be weak. It was tested, and they failed. We are going to have our faiths tried. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. See, our faith is going to be tested here, and then the report card is going to come out up there. God wants our faith to be found unto honor and glory and praise at the appearing of Jesus Christ, not shame. And there's some people that have just gone to pieces as believers in Christ. Their faith was tested and found wanting. Others of you, just this year's just been as normal year and walking in Christ as ever, and you still believe in the Lord. In fact, after this week, I believe in Him more when I see scriptures being fulfilled right in front of our eyes. And these are great days to be alive. At least prophetically, these are great days to be alive. It's sad to see the things going happening on earth, how bad things are getting, but it's all there in the scriptures. And those things should build our faith when we see these things going on in the Middle East and everywhere else. It should not hurt our faith. Tonight, I think, will help your faith if you can be here at 6 o'clock. But our faith has been tested this year, and we're still going through it. But the churches, when they were tested, they got through their trial, and they got to a stage where they were walking in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Jesus had prophesied that the Holy Spirit would come, and He would be the comforter of the churches and the comforter of God's people. Well, looked like that prophecy came to pass, because here they were walking in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Are you walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit? Are you walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit? Or is your mind troubled, your heart's troubled, you're fearful and filled with nervous energy, and boy, I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't know how this is going to work out? Or are we walking today in the comfort of the Holy Spirit? Now, in order to experience the comfort of the Holy Spirit, here's the hard part. There's got to be some trouble. There's got to be some trials. There's got to be some testings. There's got to be some temptations. And so look back at what happened to them in history. In Acts chapter 8, look at verses 1 through 4. It says, "And Saul, breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as they journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth. God knocked him down." And of course, the rest of the chapter is about the conversion of Saul and how God now stops this one-man wrecking ball who is persecuting the church. But this is the trouble the church had. Did you notice trouble can be started by one man? Have you noticed that? You know, all you need is one governor or something to say, "Hey, y'all, you got to do what I have to say from now on." And you're like, "What? We got to do what?" And man alive, you got churches. The churches in California are closed this morning because of one man. And then some of them are defying that, and they're being fined $1,000 a day that they stay open in America. In America. Churches in Nevada went to the Supreme Court and lost. And you can have 500 in a casino in Nevada, but you can't have 50 in a church. Two personal friends of mine, at least I wouldn't say personal friends, but they know me, and Pastor Charles Clark and Charlie Clark, his son, the co-pastors out there at Berlin, they've been in court. Pastor over here in Troy, New York, they broke into his church, a socialistic group, disrupted the service, and started cursing him and punched the pastor in the mouth 3 times. And you know, you're talking about America. And this is just the beginning of sorrows, you know, the beginning of trials. I don't know how this election goes, but if the socialists get in, they don't like churches. It doesn't matter if they're fundamental churches, evangelical churches, they just don't like churches, period. And we may be ahead of some hard times. But hard times come to everyone's lives. Sometimes it's a person. Now, maybe there's one person in your life right now that, boy, you just think, if they weren't here, I'd have a great life. Sometimes we think that way. Maybe you're going through trouble right now. Trials, temptations. Maybe you face temptations you thought you'd never face. Testings, like unbelievable. Sometimes it's a person. Sometimes it's a circumstance. It can be anything, a job loss, a health crisis, a financial crisis, a marriage crisis, a family crisis. Sometimes it can be a virus that the Bible calls a pestilence. Boy, we never saw that coming, did we? And all of a sudden that just disrupts everything. 30 million people lose their jobs because they're non-essential because of a virus you can't even see. And half of those business people, they think, who knows, will never regain their businesses again. They're just out. Tough break. And so there are troubles. But like I said, you can't experience the comfort of the Holy Ghost until you've gone through troubles. Until you've gone through troubles. I want you to know that God is a God of comfort. In fact, I'll just give you these seven quick statements here. Number one, God the Father comforts. God the Father comforts. Do you like comfort? Do you remember, I don't know, in my case, I remember my grandma who used to come up and put me to bed. Remember that? Mom died. She died of cancer. I didn't have mom anymore. But grandma would tuck me into bed, kiss my forehead. She'd tell you things like everything's going to be all right. Remember that? I don't know if you had those experiences. It was just nice to have some comfort. Comfort's a powerful emotion. And at the end of the message, I'm going to try to make an application to current events that we're going through here in our country and around the world. In chapter 9, and what I just read was 9, 1 through 4. Go back to 8, 1 through 4. And Saul was consenting unto death. And at that time there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial. He was stoned to death. They threw rocks at him till they killed him because they didn't like his preaching. As for Saul, verse 3, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. So can you imagine living in these times? And we already read Acts 9, 2, verses 1 through 4, 2. Sorry, I got those backwards. But these were horrible times to be a member of the church, to be in Christ. But then when it all ended, God stepped in. God fixed it. God makes things come to pass. All right, maybe you're in it now and you can't see any end to what you're going through. If you'll trust in the Lord, it'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. And when it did, then we come to our text here in Acts 9:31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. See, they couldn't experience the comfort of the Holy Ghost if they hadn't had Saul wreaking havoc on the church, persecuting them, putting them in prison, driving them out of Jerusalem. All right, so you may be going through times that maybe so you can experience the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Some of you have had troubled youth in your life growing up. It was a wreck. Maybe your home life was a wreck. There's the comfort of the Holy Ghost after that. You're going to be out of that house eventually. And if you'll work it right, you can live in God's presence and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me just say a few things here. Number one, God the Father comforts. God the Father comforts. In 2 Corinthians, it tells us why he comforts. In verses 4, chapter 1, verses 4, 3 and 4, it says this. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. That's a wonderful title. I did a funeral yesterday. I did a funeral last week. And I always say at the funerals, God is the God of all comfort. He's the God of all comfort. All comfort. We should know God the Father. Now, why does he comfort us? Notice this, verse 4, because I'll get this to this at the end. But who comforteth us in all our tribulation, why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So God allows you to go through trials, tribulations, struggles, family problems, marriage problems, whatever, health problems, where there's no comfort. And then he brings it to pass so you can experience the comfort of God, so then you can then use that to comfort somebody else whose path you cross, who's going through what you went through. Now, we've seen this in our life, my dad, George, Dave, my brothers, myself. When cancer came to our family, it was a horrible thing. It was a terrible thing. My mother died. I was 4. My dad went to pieces. You know, he was 29. Now he's got 3 boys he's got to raise without a wife, mother. And George and Dave just, you know, I just remember them breaking down and weeping and so on. But years later, Jesus Christ came into our life. And we were introduced through Christ to the God of all comfort. And things turned around and things became... Well, the Lord says he makes all things beautiful in his time. Dad ends up a pastor. George ends up a pastor. I end up a pastor. Dave loves the Lord. But who's to know that when I'm 4 years old, I'm not going to know someday that I'm going to be a pastor, and then I'm going to run across people all the time who are suffering from cancer. Families. And I'm able to say to them, maybe some of you can't, but I'm able to say to them, look, I said, our family went through this, and when we did, we turned to Christ, and Christ helped us through this. And we met the God of all comfort. And that might be why you're going through some of the stuff you're going through. Because you're going to cross paths with somebody down the road, and the Lord says here in verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort with we ourselves are comforted of God. It's preparation. God is preparing you for ministry to others down the road. No matter what you're going through. I've seen divorced people. Like Charles Weigel, who wrote the great song, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. His wife left him. Divorced him, and he went to pieces. Most of the churches that he had meetings with as a preacher canceled his meetings because he got divorced. But he found comfort in God. And he wrote that beautiful song that has been a blessing to millions of believers ever since. And God used him still. And he was able to minister to divorced people and say to them, look, I know you're crushed. I know you're fractured right now. And I know you think you're dead and you'll never live again, but God can help you. I said to somebody this week, I said, did you know God got divorced? Read Jeremiah 3. He gave Israel a bill of divorcement. I said, God knows what you're going through. We fellowship with him in our sufferings. And so whatever it is that you go through, it's to prepare you to help other people, comfort them. So he's the God of all comfort, number one. God the Father comforts. Number two, God the Son comforts. We won't turn there, but in Luke chapter 8 and verse 48, there was an extremely troubled woman that Jesus met, and he said to her, be of good comfort. And he helped her with her problem. He started his words with his help with her with those words, be of good comfort. Jesus comforted people, and his whole life was crossing paths with very troubled people that he comforted. comforted. God the Father comforts. God the Son comforts. God the Holy Spirit comforts. That's our title. That was his name with a capital C. Turn to John 14 if you can find it. If not, I'll read these. John 14 and verse 16. Jesus, the last night of his life before his crucifixion, he gets his men together in the upper room. They have the Lord's Supper. They have the Passover. And he teaches them a whole lot of things. One of the things he says is, I'm leaving. You're not going to see me anymore, but don't worry. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit in my place. And four times now, as I read quickly, you're going to notice he calls the Holy Spirit the Comforter. The Comforter. It's the same great Greek word as paraclete, which refers to a wife called alongside to help her husband. And God has sent somebody who is called alongside of us to help us every day of our life. And it's God Almighty in the third person, that's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit lives inside of your body if you're saved. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God the Holy Spirit lives in your body, not because he didn't have anywhere else to go. I've explained that before. I mean, the worst place on earth is where? Inside of a human body. Right? I've said this before. If I was the Holy Ghost, I'd rather live in a cow than in a human being. Because they're just out there chewing their cud, doing what they do by instinct. Do you know some of the thoughts men have? Women have? Huh? Would you ever like to have your thoughts exposed? I mean, the last person, place I'd ever want to live, if I was God, is inside of a human being. A fallen, depraved human being. So why did he do that? Because we need help. Isn't that wonderful? We need help. And he said, I'll go and live inside of them and help them. He's our comforter. John 14, 16, Jesus said this, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Boy, that's great, isn't it? And who is it? The next verse says this, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth. The comforter is the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 26. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Boy, that's quite a benefit. Look at chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Look at chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will do a work of regeneration and grace in us. He'll guide you into all truth. Verse 13. That's nice, isn't it? What a benefit. Do you commune with the Holy Ghost? We should have communion with the Holy Ghost. He is the Comforter. And it says the churches were walking in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. We ought not to be troubled. Even though it's 2020 and there's a virus around, we shouldn't be troubled. God the Father comforts. God the Son comforts. God the Holy Spirit comforts. Number four, the Scriptures comfort. The Scriptures comfort. In Romans chapter number 15 and verse number 4, it says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and what? Comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The Scriptures comfort us. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. The Bible will comfort you. All right? If you don't know the Bible, you're looking at the news every night, and you don't know what the Bible says, you're like saying, why do I even want to stay on this planet? But if you're in the Bible and you're watching the news, you say, oh yeah, the Bible said that was going to happen. The Bible tells history before it happens. And the Bible tells us the end of the story before it happens. And the end of the story is that no matter what you're going through right now, this all ends very well for us. Just read the last two chapters when you get home and say, hey, that's a pretty good ending. that New Jerusalem place. I like that. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more crying, no more death. That sounds pretty good. The Bible comforts us. The Bible comforts us. Number five, love comforts us. Here's a good point. Listen up. In Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 1, it says this, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, we went over that, point 2, if any comfort of love, notice that, number 5, love comforts. Did you know that nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Now, some of you are struggling today. You're wondering if God still loves you because you've messed up so many times. You think you're the first person who's going to outlast the love of God. You think you're the first person where God's going to finally say, that's it, I've had it with her. I've had it with him. I don't love them anymore. But you're not. Nothing, Romans 8:35, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. His love is so amazing. I've seen amazing love. I've seen some mothers keep loving their kids that I think, man, what are you loving him for? What are you loving her for? But they keep loving them. It's a just amazing love some moms have for their kids. Do you think you're greater than God? Some dads show amazing love for their kids. And their prodigal sons, their prodigal daughters, and they just keep loving them. And it's like, wow, but do you think you're really greater than God? I don't think so. The fact that God loves me comforts me. And maybe you're here today and say, boy, I failed again this week. Maybe you're here and you're saying, I can't believe what I did this week. I can't believe what I looked at. I can't believe what I heard. I can't believe what I said about somebody. I can't believe what I thought about somebody. I can't believe what I did in private when I didn't think anyone was looking at me. And I just feel like quitting. But then you remember the love of God. And verse 1 says, if any comfort of love. I don't know. God's love comforts me that no matter how many times I failed him or said something I shouldn't have said or heard or looked at something or did something I should have done, God's love comforts me because he just reaches down and lifts me up again. So, well, let's try tomorrow. And sometimes we think we're going to wear out the love of God. Did you ever think that? Boy, I wore out the love of God this time. Why should I even try again? But his love comforts us. Comfort of love. But here's where we get down now to the application. Fathers should comfort their children. I mean, it's great what all God does for us. God the Father comforts us. God the Son comforts. God the Holy Ghost comforts. The Scriptures comfort. God's love comforts. He'll never stop loving me. Praise his holy name. But now what about us? And this is where it gets practical here in closing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11, it says this to us, fathers. Are you a father today? If not, maybe you're a spiritual father. Maybe you've led others to Christ, and you're a spiritual father. I suppose this would help mothers too, but here's something about fathers, a more gentle side of manhood. It tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11, these words, I think I want first. 1 Thessalonians 2:11. And you know how we exhorted, number one, and comforted, number two, and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Fathers should charge their children. Fathers should exhort their children. But it also says here, fathers should comfort their children. Children by nature look up to fathers. Proverbs 17 and verse 6 says, the glory of children are their fathers. The glory of children are their fathers. And it is a blessing to hear a father say to you when you're a child, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. We're going to make it. You're going to make it. I'm for you. Because there's a lot of scary moments in childhood and youth. And we're living through some. We're living through some times where children in America need to hear their father say, it's going to be all right. And grandchildren need to hear their grandpa say, it's going to be all right. It's okay. Yeah, moms too, grandmas too, but there's just something about a dad saying, it's going to be all right. I heard a study 2 weeks ago today where they had on the news, listening to a WBEN news broadcast, and it said 50% of the children are afraid to go back to school this year. Well, that means somewhere along the line, a whole bunch of adults have failed to comfort the children. They failed to comfort the children. And as this thing is winding down and we're starting to look at the facts and we get our calculators out, as I've encouraged you to do on several occasions, just take the population of the world, divide it into the number of cases. They post them every day. 7.8 billion people in the world. Divide it in the number of cases of COVID-19. And 99.9-something percent of the inhabitants of this planet have never been infected by the virus. Now that should comfort us, the calculator. Now the ones that have, it's real. People have died. We understand that. Do that for America. Do that for the cases and do that for the deaths. They post them every day. I got my calculator out all the time. I'm not going to worry about that. I listen to these guys sometimes on the radio, Mike Lomas and Glenn Wiggle. They're the Finn guys. I don't know if you ever listened to them. It's not a Christian show, okay? I'm just warning you if you listen to them. But they're on WBEN radio on 1 to 3 o'clock on Saturdays. These guys just tell it like it is. And they're the financial guys. That's what Finn stands for, F-I-N. They combine politics and finances, and I find them very insightful. But they just bring out all the studies and data that nobody else brings out. They said this last week. They said it's 66,000 times more likely your child will be kidnapped by human traffickers than die from COVID-19. 66,000 times more likely. They grabbed an Amish girl down here, put her in a crate, stuck her on a ship just a couple weeks ago, and miraculously through prayer and a dream God gave somebody, they went right to the crate, opened it up, and her body was in there. They returned it to her parents. 36 kids have died from COVID-19 in America this year, almost 500 from influenza. And that's with all the safeguards. You know, everything, masks, stay home, stay healthy, social distancing, the influenza rate did not change one bit because of that stuff. The deaths are just average influenza deaths, 12 times more likely to die of influenza than the COVID-19. Those 36 that died, most of them had compromised immune systems, even as children. 36. 20 states in our country have not had one child die. Around the world, there is not a known case yet of a teacher who, through contact trace, has been infected by a student. Not one case in the world yet where a teacher has been infected by a child in school. And a lot of nations and states kept their schools open. Now you're looking at this and you're saying, why are we worrying? We should be comforting the children as God says. Isaiah 40 verse 1 says, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. We should be comforting people. We really should. There's a lot of fear. We've got the answer. We should comfort people, say it's going to be okay. Kids, you don't have to worry about this. Kids got enough on their plates. We got to quit this psychological bullying of these children. Adults got to quit psychologically bullying these children. God's not very happy with adults who offend little children. In fact, you read what he said one time over there in Matthew 18, 6. He said, it'd be better for a millstone to be hung about your neck and you'd be drowned in the depths of the sea than to offend one of these little ones. God says he's got angels watching over every child on earth before his throne, at his beck and at his call, that whenever he needs to, he can discharge those angels to help the children of this earth. These are times where we need comfort. And it's time you and I join the chorus of those who are comforting and saying it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Kids, you want to fear something? Fear God. Fear God. That's what you ought to fear. 74 million children in America, 36 deaths. 20 states have not had one child die. I just wanted to make a little bit of a up-to-date application of some current events with the subject today. But know the Holy Spirit. Don't just get saved. Walk in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. It's been a good walk for many of us this year. Just, I don't know. I don't know about you, but I haven't spent a second in fear of this virus. I respect it. I mean, I'm not going to be foolish, but just I've been enjoying the Lord this year. I hope you have. There's a song we're going to sing in closing here. I think the writer wrote it pretty good in 591. And the last verse says, ah, soul, are you here without comfort and rest? Marching down the rough pathway of time, make Jesus your friend ere the shadows grow dark. Oh, accept this sweet peace so sublime. Are you here without comfort? I don't know. We can put on a show. I think if they ever give out Oscars, they should give them out in church because that's where the best acting goes on. You wouldn't believe the acting that goes on in church. They ought to give Oscars out on Sundays. I don't know what's going on the inside of your mind or your heart, but I know there's a God that loves you, cares about you, and he's many things. He's many, many, many things, but one thing he is comfort. He's comfort. And maybe you need to get back into the Scriptures. The Scriptures will comfort and bless you. I've been reading the Psalms lately. Man, that's just fantastic stuff. It'll comfort you. But as we sing this, and let's stand together, page 591, what a precious song, wonderful peace. One, not just peace, wonderful peace. If you need to come and pray today at the altar, step out to the aisle, come pray between you and God. Nobody will bother you. You're troubled about anything, or you know somebody that's troubled, come pray for them. Amen. You come.